This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Careful making wishes in the dark, dark. Can't be sure when it hit that.
That is hammered out to deep left field. Forget about it. Big fly for Mike Trout, and the Angels have tied this one up at one.
Hey, I'm Trent Rush.
This is Brendan Marsh for Los Angeles Angels and 66ers Baseball.
This is Joe Adell here with the Los Angeles Angels.
I'm Troy Hunter Jr.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
What is up? It is your boy, Johnny Mags, joined as always with
Dan Garcia.
We're back for another edition of the All Angels Podcast. And on today's show, we have a guest today, Rhett Bollinger, MLB.com beat writer for the Angels. So we have Rhett here with us now. Rhett, thanks for joining us on the All Angels Podcast.
No problem. Thanks for having me on again.
So obviously, last time we talked to you, we were at the 30-game mark. And, you know, the season wasn't necessarily going the way that we were hoping as Angel fans. But I guess two of the bright spots, and we'll kind of fast forward to the end of it for Angels. One of them was definitely Jared Walsh and his AL Rookie of the Month, but also kind of sneakily, I think Upton's last month for him, at least in what he has become, not bad as far as turning around, hitting 5 home runs and 12 RBIs, like I said, in the last month. Mm-hmm. And I believe you were one of the guys that we talked to that said, you know, give Upton some chance to warm up, you know, because like I said, last time we talked was 30 games into the season. So especially those two guys, do you think Jared has solidified his spot at first base? And do you think Upton can produce at some kind of level going into next year?
Yeah, you're right. Those are definitely two guys that had much better second halves than the first half. That first half, the offense never really the team never clicked fully. You know, it seems like every time, you know, the pitching was going well, the offense was bad, and you know, kind of some guys came through some slumps. But when Walsh went, you know, off there in September and Upton kind of got going, we combine that with Rendon and Trout, it really made for a much better offense. You know, obviously Fletcher up top. The big question is going to be, you know, with Walsh, was that enough of a sample size, you know, going forward? It was only 1 month, but obviously it was a great month, and I think it's probably enough that he can – you know, go into spring training next year as the favorite there to be the everyday guy at first base, because of that, you know, that he really was pretty amazing in that sample size there. And Upton, you know, he's done it in the past. I think it was just a good sign that he's not, you know, he's not done in a sense, you know. There definitely was that worry that, oh my gosh, you know, with the injuries, you know, and last year, well, you know, 2019, sorry, this wasn't a very good year for him. And then, you know, this season too, he just, you know, it almost seemed like a lost cause, but he turned it around and, you know, that's huge for them, especially considering, you know, he's under contract for a few more years. So it's hard to really know, but it definitely a good sign for both those guys. And it would be huge for the Angels in 2021 if they can continue to perform, because it makes that lineup that much better.
Yeah, I'd have to ask this question. I think we asked Mark Gubizal the same question. Now that we're talking about the end of the season, of this season, Angels play 20 more games. Do they make the playoffs?
I would think so. At the time, I thought they were playing better than the Astros. They were going to pass them. The Astros didn't have much pitching depth at the time. Obviously, the Astros' credit, they actually played pretty well in the postseason. Seemed like a lot of those guys just seemed to shine in October, whether it's Springer or even Altuve and you know, Bregman. Those guys seemed to always have big, you know, showings in the playoffs. But in the regular season, though, they were kind of struggling at the end. You know, they finished, I think, with a losing record, too. I mean, the Angels just had such a rough start, they couldn't overcome it. But really, you know, if the Angels would have just played like they're capable of, I think on paper this season, you know, especially in the shortened season, they were better than the Astros because of the pitching depth issues with the Astros. But, you know, it was 60 games, and the Angels missed it again and had been their losing record, and the Astros got in and actually had a decent showing there in the postseason.
So another big issue, I don't know if it's necessarily an issue, but something that came about towards the end of the year, Wes Simmons opting out, I believe it was like with a week left.
Yeah.
Do you have any, was there any did anything ever come out to say why he opted out? And more so, do you think there's a chance he comes back to the Angels during this offseason?
He never said anything specifically in terms of to the media. He never spoke to us after it happened. But in his release, it sounded like it was something to do with COVID fears. Of course, it was kind of interesting the way the Angels actually were still in it that last weekend. I wonder if he didn't think that was going to happen or not. But at this point, I'd be pretty surprised if he came back. It almost seemed like, too, that was almost like a farewell, almost kind of thanking the fans and that kind of thing. So, I mean, it wouldn't be like, you know, you can't totally rule it out. But at this point, I think just the way things went there, you know, I even asked Mike Trout about it when we had Mike Trout on Zoom at the end of the year. And I asked him specifically, did that surprise you about Simmons? And he said, yeah. So, I mean, I think even his teammates, it caught them off guard. I think Simmons told Trout about it the day before, I think, just during batting practice, just telling him, hey, I'm done after tonight or something. So it was just kind of weird timing. And I think Joe Maddon didn't even know until that next day. He didn't know until the day of. So in terms of the actual timing of it, too, and the execution of it, it probably could have been handled a little bit better. But obviously people have their reasons. And with everything going on in the COVID and everything else, I don't know specifically if something happened to his family. So, you know, you can't really judge him yet without knowing the full facts because he hasn't really spoke out officially on what happened. But it definitely kind of was strange in a sense. And I would think that probably means more likely he won't be back.
Yeah. And, you know, when he released that statement, it almost seemed like a farewell goodbye little statement that he made, you know, so kind of stamping the I'm leaving
thing. Totally.
So, you know, with that happening, you know, David Fletcher had another great year this season, you know, 60 games, but a great season for David Fletcher. And this is going to be a question we'll probably ask, you know, off-season thing, but David Fletcher, how important was he this season and moving forward for the Angels?
Oh, he was huge. You know, he was one of their best players. And really, ever since he's come up, you know, he's been underrated and one of the best players in baseball just because of his ability to make contact, avoid strikeouts, to be a plus defender with a better arm than people give him credit for. He really is a really good player. I mean, obviously, the power isn't really there, but that's really the only tool that he's lacking. And so, you know, you can plug him in pretty much anywhere in the infield. He helped out with all those injuries they had, especially when Simmons went down. The big question going forward is, you know, is he good enough defensively to be an everyday shortstop? I think the answer is, I think he can. You know, you'd always have to worry about durability. It is kind of a tough position to play every day. But, you know, and so it's going to be interesting to see this offseason if the Angels decide to go after a shortstop and make Fletcher the everyday second baseman, or if they feel like they can actually make Fletcher the shortstop and find a second baseman on the market. I think they're probably more likely to get a shortstop out there, but at least Fletcher gives them some options, which is really important for them.
So obviously the season happened, playoffs, Angels didn't make it. A couple of tweaks this season for the playoffs was that, you know, obviously the extended playoffs and the first round was all at the home team. You know, it wasn't going back and forth. And I know you helped out a little bit with the coverage of that, but seeing that whole new kind of playoff system, did you like it? Did you not like it? Would you want it to come back but make tweaks to it? What did you think of that playoff format that came this year?
I think for, you know, for this season, it worked really well. I think it made sense to have it in those neutral sites. You know, and the format was cool to see all those games in a row too, kind of change the strategy up a little bit. You know, in the past, you know, we've seen those travel days and all that stuff in there. So you can kind of change your rotation up and lean on maybe one or two pitchers more. This seemed like you had to have more depth to kind of get through all this and to get through 7 days in a row with, you know, with this series, which was cool. I don't think they can probably replicate that though going forward because the travel, especially if you're doing East Coast versus West Coast teams, it's just too tough to do. The extra wild card round, you know, created some fun and, you know, a 3-game series. I think that could probably, my guess is it's probably going to stick. I mean, it sounds like MLB is going to expand postseason at least by a little bit here. You know, I don't want them to get too deep into the postseason, you know, expanding because I don't want it to be too much like the NBA or the NFL where almost every team gets in, especially because MLB, you know, so many things can happen in a playoff series. I mean, this year I think didn't happen as much. I think MLB was fortunate that, you know, the Dodgers were the best team in the NL during the regular season and got to the World Series. Same with the Rays and the AL, the two best teams face each other. But I do think the more teams in the playoffs, the more likely you can kind of have a team have a gimmick run to the championship. But, you know, it's still fun, obviously. But I think in terms of, like, making legitimate champions, you'd have fewer teams. But Obviously, they're in the business of making money and creating entertainment more than, you know, having a legit champion, I think. So in that sense, I think that they can kind of expand it a little bit, but I don't mind it as much. But yeah, I mean, I think this postseason was pretty fun to watch. But obviously, I'd like to see the fans back in there, because that really is a huge difference in the empty stadiums.
Yeah. Wow. Not that we would be going.
I mean, Red at least got to go into the stadium.
I did.
At least a little bit during this season.
I covered that Astros series too.
I was at Astros
A's at Dodger Stadium, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was able to drive by it from the freeway and like wave. And then that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So
just about right. Yeah.
Yeah. With the playoff expansion or whatever the additions, do you feel like if they do expand to another playoff, like the wild card tier or whatever, do you feel that takes away from like a division championship winner in your eyes?
It could. That's why I think maybe they could tweak it more and maybe have that wild card series too. Maybe, or if they're facing off a division winner, maybe the division winner gets a one game lead to start the 3-game series. I know they do that in Japan.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, you're the home team the whole time. This year, there wasn't really much of a benefit to being in the league,
right,
to being, you know, to the championship. I think they'll probably tweak that going forward, especially knowing how much more that means in a long regular season, you know, to be that division champion. So they got to find a way to kind of reward them more, whether it's going to be a bye, you know, a bye in the first round, or like I said, or even starting a shortened series with a one game lead automatically. Could be a thing, but yeah, I do think that they have to do that to kind of make that more of an incentive for sure.
Yeah, because, you know, in baseball, winning a division championship means something. Like in basketball, mm-hmm. you know, the Lakers have somebody, they don't even care, but or teams like that, they don't even care. But in baseball, it's important, right? I mean, that's
It's so much hard work to get to. It's a long season. The players definitely, two Lakers fans. Sorry, but I do think you're right, though. I think that in baseball, division champions are always celebrated, and teams put up banners for that, because that's a real thing for sure, more so than it would be in other sports.
So getting away from the All Lakers podcast, no, but
we can do that now.
I know we could. Yeah, right? Really, yeah, the season's going to start like in a month.
Yeah,
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So playoffs happens. Obviously, you have like you mentioned, you had the Devil – I still call them the Devil Rays. Am I the only one that breaks this? The Rays.
Oh, I do it sometimes.
The Rays and the Dodgers, obviously the best two teams in each division – or each league played for the World Series. Dodgers obviously won. But after that, then we had the awards, the regular season awards. And this season, for our listeners out there, what award did you vote for this year?
This year I voted for the AL Cy Young Award.
Okay, so we'll start there. AL Cy Young, obviously, unanimously, Shane Bieber. Shane, don't call me Justin Bieber. You know, unanimous. Did you know that? Did you have a feeling that was going to happen? Or what did you think about the voting with Bieber?
Yeah, he pretty much had that locked up right away. I mean, pretty much by halfway through the season, everyone knew it was going to be unanimous. There really wasn't even anybody, truthfully, even close to him. After that, it was kind of just figuring out the best of the bunch from the, you know, from then on, because it was, you know, him head and shoulders above everyone else this year for sure.
And then I did notice too, you did vote for Bundy for third. So what went into that decision for you?
I thought he had a really good bounce back year. I thought that he did a good job of you know, that the strikeout rate was really high. He limited walks. I thought that he really was a key for that Angel rotation. You know, it was a tough call from there. You know, I had some other guys on that list. Ryu from Toronto, I think we had him right behind there at fourth. Fifth was really tough too. It was tough leaving Lance Lynn off altogether. I think he would have been in my top three probably if it weren't for his last. This is so tough. I think it was last three starts. He was just really not very good. Lynn was, and I think just I looked at everybody's starts, when you know, every single one of their starts, and kind of looked at it all. It was tough just because it was, you know, most guys made only 10 or 12 starts at the most anyway, and only a couple of them could kind of ruin it. But to me, it didn't really, you know, to me, it was such an obvious thing with you know, with the number one. It was just after that, it was just kind of a, not a coin flip, but I did a lot of research, obviously, but it was really tough. I feel like after having that number one vote for Bieber, after that, it kind of was a lot of those guys. You could make a case for a ton of guys in that, you know, Garrett Cole, I think I left off too, and he was certainly in that mix. So, you know, I think I had my Aiden number two with the Twins, and he had a great year. So, yeah, I mean, it was kind of tough. I'm not going to lie, after that number one pick.
was it harder this year because the sample size was so small, or was it like, oh, this is easier?
Yeah.
I have less games to watch. I have less, like, you know, stuff to kind of intake. Or is it harder, like, you know, last year or years past?
I think it's just harder because I think slumps, or just even pitching slumps, get magnified more. Even with Trout, you know, in the offense, you know, if he just would have had an upswing there instead of that little late downswing, you know, I think sometimes he does that sometimes where he goes for a little funk and then all of a sudden gets really heated up. You know, Trout could have turned back, you know, and given an extra 10 games, mm-hmm. he could have had a huge stretch and, you know, had enough numbers to be the MVP. Instead, he finished on a down note and finished fifth. You know, you figure in a full season, he would have had time to turn it around and to kind of get back to his normal numbers. Not that they weren't that far off from his normal numbers anyway, but it was just a little bit off. And I think same thing with the pitchers. It was just one bad start or two bad starts could totally throw you off from a great season. And so it just kind of made it really tough, in my opinion.
Yeah, because like one loss totally changes the outlook of that win-loss record, right?
Exactly. Totally can flip it. And yeah, one bad start, your ERA can go up like a whole run almost. And it's just not as easy as winning a full season.
Right. So just to kind of get an insider's perspective of this, like, what are you looking for, or what did you look for in a Cy Young? Were you looking like win-loss record? Were you looking, you know, strikeouts, you know, percentages? What were you really focusing on this year to kind of put, you know, get your vote over the top? Like, this is my guy.
I don't look at wins and losses too much. I mean, mostly, you know, I'll take a look, obviously, at basic stat like ERA to see everyone's ERA compared to each other. But, you know, the advanced stats, too, I look at their FIP, their, you know, fielding independent pitching to see how it looks with the defense stripped away and see what their, you know, how their strikeout percentage is to their, you know, to their walk percentage as well. I think that's kind of, I think that's a really key stat, because I think that's kind of the main thing that pitchers can control are strikeouts and walks. I think sometimes, you know, once the ball's in play, it can be tough to, you know, say how much it's to help by the fielders or just a team being smarter with their positioning, or even sometimes a little bit of luck with a shortened season especially. So, you know, so in that sense too, obviously looking at pitching war on FanGraphs and on Baseball Reference, and they do different ways of calculating that. And even Sierra is another one's kind of a predictor for an ERA in a sense. So a lot of advanced statistics and kind of looking at those, but also, like I said, I still look at the game logs of all the pitchers too to see, you know, what they kind of did. And like, that's why I said, for me, looking at Lance Lynn's game log changed it for me. So I looked at the end there, and it was like three straight teams were playoff caliber teams at the end where he actually was pitching for something in terms of it could have changed the race. And all three times he got shelled, I want to say, and that changed it for me just by looking at just the narrative, I guess, of that. So, so for me, it's a lot of things. It takes a lot of time. Early enough in the season where they kind of let you know, so you can kind of continue to always look at that and keep that in the back of your mind, because you definitely don't want to look bad or make a bad decision there, because it is a very important award that, you know, has even some people even, you know, money involved in terms of finishes and that kind of stuff, right? Like in their, you know, incentives contract and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So now moving into the NL Cy Young, Trevor Bauer, hopefully with the Angels, we'll get to that a little bit later, but, Did you like Bauer winning it? Would you have went a different way? If you had the NL vote, what would you have done?
I think Bauer was probably the right choice. I mean, he was the best, I thought, this year in the NL. Darvish was right there with him. But even in that one head-to-head start, you know, Bauer pitched so much better. You know, same thing, small sample size. But he pitched well head-to-head against Darvish and beat him that day. And even Darvish that day said that, you know, Bauer's a Cy Young Award winner. So, I think that made the most sense. And I would have voted that way.
And then obviously the other big time award was the MVP American League. Jose Abreu won it from the White Sox. Your thoughts about Jose? I mean, it seems kind of hard though to judge these guys, like, for you, because you're used to them coming through Angel Stadium once and then going to Chicago once. But this year, because like the regionalized schedule, you didn't see Chicago at all. You didn't see, you know, Bieber at all. Like, what did you think of Jose winning the MVP? And then B, how hard was it to judge all these guys, because you don't see them at all this year?
Yeah. And also you don't really know the quality of competition too. You don't know how much better one division or what team faced than the other, or what guys they faced pitching wise. There's definitely, especially in that short of a season, there's going to be some built in advantages or disadvantages that are hard to kind of find sometimes. I think Abreu was, I probably would have voted for Abreu. I know, you know, Ramirez with the Indians had a great year too, and definitely would have been up in that mix. I'm curious to see too how many people voted for Bieber, for both, because I thought he had a great year too. But yeah, I think I would have had Abreu there. I didn't look too deeply into exactly what I would have voted, but going into it though, it would have been either him or Ramirez.
So obviously, then Freddie Freeman, Atlanta wins the NL. Do you have any initial thoughts about him winning the NL MVP?
Yeah, it made the most sense. He had the best, you know, offensive year there. Obviously, you can make a case for Mookie Betts, and obviously you saw what Mookie could do in the postseason. But yeah, it made sense and cool. An Orange County kid and Freeman, you know, winning that, and what, Bieber's an Orange County kid too.
Yeah,
winning the Cy Young, so that's pretty cool, obviously as well.
So then we'll go real quick to the rookies of the year. AL was Kyle Lewis, unanimous. And then Devin Williams, which is kind of odd, not odd, but a reliever for the Brewers, I believe. He won NL Rookie of the Year. Anything from those two pop out to you at all as far as – I mean, you probably saw, was it Kyle Lewis quite a bit. So any thoughts about either one of those?
Yeah, Kyle Lewis is great. He's really fun to watch as a center fielder. You can tell he's going to have a great future. I thought that, you know, Luis Robert was the other guy in that mix. I think Robert had a really bad finish. It also could have been a lot more interesting, but I do think both those guys are definitely center fielders to watch going forward. And, you know, and Devin Williams was an incredible reliever. You know, too bad for the Brewers. He got hurt and couldn't pitch in the postseason. You know, I think the Dodgers would have won either way, but I think that, you know, it would have been fun for him to get that experience because his numbers as a reliever were absolutely incredible. And he has that, I guess, a changeup that just is unhittable.
Yeah, and too, Jared Walsh was eligible for that AL Rookie of the Year. Do you think, I mean, he, like I said, he has such a great month, but because that month, again, was just a month.
Yeah.
But in a 60-game season, that's a ton of time. Do you think, you know, he should have got more kind of recognition for it because of the 60-game abbreviated, or do you think, you know, it's just too little?
Yeah, I mean, I would have him in the mix there, maybe top five, but yeah, probably not enough. Certainly not what to overtake what Kyle Lewis did for a full season, and even, you know, Luis Robert with his defense, even you know, playing in center field there for the White Sox, and so yeah, I mean, he should have been in the mix there, but I think you're right. I think this is the 1 month. You know, it's a decent sample size in a short season like this, but for me, it's probably not quite enough.
And then obviously, the last major one was Manager of the Year. We got a Florida sweep.
Right.
With Kevin Cash and Don Mattingly, the Rays and Marlins, respectively. Kevin Cash, obviously, the big decision in the playoffs. You know, this is a regular season award, so the postseason didn't come to play at all. Do you think any voters have second thoughts about after voting for Cash after that decision?
No, I don't think so. I think they know it's a different animal altogether. But at the same time, I think most people who watched that game couldn't believe that they did that. You know, take out Snell like that when he was pitching that well, and immediately kind of backfired. And I think most fans were, you know, weren't too surprised when it went that way. So yeah, but I think just in general, what he did with that team, we said earlier, the best record in the American League, and a lot of players. You know, truthfully, most fans don't even really, you know, never even heard of. But it's a great roster. They can move all these players around. He did a great job of managing that bullpen, and even. You know, they had a lot of guys hurt in that bullpen before the postseason too, and so yeah, I think he deserved a lot of credit. And you know, Mattingly for the Marlins to do that out of nowhere, I think no one really saw that coming, especially early in the year with the big COVID outbreak within their team.
Yeah.
Then to come back after that too, so I think that Mattingly was an easy choice for that one, and I think that, you know, Cash certainly deserved it too in Tampa.
You look at the Marlins. You go like MLB.com, you look at their roster or their transition page during that COVID outbreak. You had like, it was like three full pages of just going on COVID and then this guy getting brought up and this guy getting brought up. It was pretty crazy to see.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, definitely.
All right. So we're going to take a quick commercial break to get a word from our sponsors. When we come back from the other side, we're going to talk about the Angels offseason. Cause I think, you know, there's some news, right?
There's some news. I don't know. The second year in a row, big introduction.
There might be something we could talk about here, but anyway, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to be right back.
The wait is finally over. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be able to get to a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaches' props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head over to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
What's up? Johnny Catfish here, ambassador for Groom Goon Beard and Body Care. Are you tired of your beard feeling rough and not so fresh? Do yourself a favor and do what I did and check out www.groomgoon.com. Groom Goon carries a variety of beard oils and beard and body soaps that will leave your beard feeling soft and smelling great all day long. Don't just take my word for it. Go check it out for yourself. Again, that's www.groomgoon.com. And at checkout, use discount code CATFISHTHEGOON, all one word, CATFISHTHEGOON, and receive 15% off your purchase. Why choose Groom Goon? Well, because your beard deserves it.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
This is Hood Vicious. Listen to my show, The Punk Corner, on KJ Epic Radio, every Thursday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Our partners at Manscaped are forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology that helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor that powers a 360-degree rotor dual-blade system. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience and is waterproof, which makes for easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts for up to 90 minutes of use. Have you ever pulled out your nose hair with your fingers? That might hurt worse than nicking your balls. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to, delivering maximum comfort while providing hygiene. Yes, you will get a replaceable blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking time clean and enjoyable. Look, fellas, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's right. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com and use promo code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds.
And we are back. Thank you to our sponsors again for making this show possible. Quick shout out to at Archangel Pins on Instagram. Check them out. A lot of cool pins. They actually got some coming up soon here. I got a sneak peek of at a few. There's a couple other ones that he hasn't showed yet. But check it out. And I'm sure when we when they come through, we'll do some kind of giveaway on Halo_Haven on Instagram. So check that out. But anyway, let's get into it. This offseason, you know, last game of the season, the Angels let go of Billy Epler.
Maybe you can help us, Red. Hey, your contract's up. We're not going to renew. Is that pretty much what?
No, right? They gave him the extra year. So no, they gave
That's right. That came out. That came out like
season. So
yeah.
So the correct term would be dismissed or let go or fired.
Right.
That's why we bring a journalist on to help clarify all this stuff.
Well, we were confused though too, because when that happened, I thought same thing. I wrote initially that. Same thing. He just decided not to extend his contract. But sure enough, we found out that actually already gave him a 1 year extension during the season. Or I guess it was before the season. It was before the shortened season, I guess.
So the Angels actually announced that they, took their time a little bit, but they found the man in Perry Manassian, was announced in a press conference on Tuesday. Right. What are your first impressions of Perry?
Yeah, I'm very impressed. You know, this is a guy that comes from a real baseball background, grew up with the game. You know, his dad was a longtime, clubhouse manager for the Rangers. So Perry grew up in Texas and, was a bat boy and then worked his way in. I think he was, worked as a clubby for 6 years in there. And then from there, transitioned to scouting. You don't really ever see anybody go from that kind of a role and move up the way he did. You know, it really is amazing to get into scouting. And then kind of from there, worked his way up with the Rangers, went to the Blue Jays for 9 years, and for 6 years was the director of scouting there. And then the last few years there had been with the Braves. He's very close with the Braves GM and Alex Anthopoulos. He's kind of one of his mentors. But the amazing thing with him is he has so many mentors from all over the game because he's been, it's been a part of his life since he was a little kid. So he's been around Hall of Famers and executives and managers and players his whole life. So he's got a lot of contacts in the game. His brother is also a scout as well with the Giants. His other brother is a clubhouse coordinator as well. So we could maybe even see one of his brothers join him in the front office. So yeah, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, really knows his stuff. He comes off as a, you know, an engaging person, a guy that can really, he's good at listening, but also, you know, like I said, the communication thing is going to be key for him with, you know, with Madden and the team itself, but also other GMs and, you know, what's going on out there and obviously agents. And I think that he's got a good background in knowing just about everybody in the game, from the top on pretty much down to bottom. So, I mean, if you're looking for somebody who knows people and knows, you know, and has been around a lot of smart people in the game, it'd be him. And obviously he's got to prove that he can make the right moves to make this team, you know, win. But, you know, I think the background as a baseball guy certainly made a lot of sense.
So we have an email we put out on our Instagram and our Twitter asking for questions. And so we got our first one from Duncan Healy about our loyal listener, Duncan Healy, from talking about Minajian. Rhett, any idea what kind of philosophy he brings to the table? How does his philosophy make the Angels better? I mean, is it too soon to know, or did he talk about that at all with you guys?
He talked about it a little bit. I think he's always talked about being a team builder. I think ever since he was a kid, he was saying he used to spend his dinner table time with his family, like building out 25-man rosters. So he's been into roster construction for a long time. And obviously he's pretty much has experience in every realm from, you know, the scouting and the professional level to the amateur level. And as assistant GM for the Braves, he was involved like in all MLB things too and contracts and everything. So he really has experience in every single realm. I think he also talked about the importance of pitching and catching too, you know, and I think the Braves have done a good job of developing some young pitchers. You know, I know Soroka was hurt this year, but, you know, we saw what Wright and Anderson, these young guys pitching the postseason for the Braves. So, yeah, I think that's going to be the key for them is developing the guys they have and then trying to acquire who they can to make this rotation better and this bullpen better, because they got to really get this pitching in order to win, especially with this, you know, I think they have a pretty good offense. Just gonna be a matter of figuring out, you know, how to get this pitching better and how to get more of it. And I think, you know, it's gonna be huge for him. And we'll see if he can do it. I think obviously he's got a good pitching coach and Callaway to at least try to get these guys better. And I think that, you know, Madden does a good job of keeping guys, you know, he's energetic and keep guys active. I think a little tougher this year with COVID, but I think some of the pieces are there. It's just a matter of putting it all together and seeing what Perry can do.
Yeah, so we just keep along with the emails. We got another one from Lamar Washington, another little listener. He says, hello, guys. He says, Rhett, with the Angels hiring of the new GM, do you see him trading away some of the farmhands to get something in return? And if so, who on the top of that list for possible trade? Is anyone in your eyes untouchable?
It's a really good question. I don't, you know, it's hard to know exactly how Perry feels about the farm system and what guys he would view as untouchable. We know with Billy that, you know, Joe Adell has pretty much always been untouchable. I'm curious to see if that'd still be the case with Perry, if he'd be more likely to trade a guy like Adell or maybe even a Brandon Marsh for pitching help and trade away one of their big prospects, because they do have obviously a lot of, you know, other, you know, outfield prospects in their system, Jeremiah Jackson, some other guys in there too. So they have some guys in there already in their farm system that can kind of fill in maybe eventually in the outfield. I think that we'll see, but it wouldn't shock me for him to try to put together a trade for some prospects from some pitching, but it's hard to know right now until we really get to know Perry, how he values these guys. And I don't know that answer quite yet, but my guess is that, you know, he's going to be aggressive and that, you know, I don't know if anybody's really untouchable at this point.
That's a good point. Make sure you follow Rhett on Twitter at Rhett Bollinger. So if any news breaks, you know exactly who to follow and, where to get it. So, you mentioned it, pitching. Obviously, pitching is the main thing for the Angels this season. Trevor Bauer, we mentioned him obviously earlier, what about the Cy Young and all that stuff. But outside of him, because I think – and when we talked to Gooby a little while ago, we kind of mentioned it, like, you know, 30 teams are going to want a Trevor Bauer.
Right.
But now looking past him, you see Marcus Stroman off the board, another kind of target of the Angels, it seemed like. But with – outside of Bauer, what kind of targets you think, or what kind of pitching out there can actually make a legit difference for the Angels next year in the rotation?
Yeah, that's another tough question too. You're right. I mean, Bauer is like the main guy. I think they're hopeful that Stroman wasn't going to take that qualifying offer. I think Kevin Gausman is an interesting guy. Same thing. He's tied to a, you know, qualifying offer as well in terms of he'd have to give up some draft pick compensation. You know, Taijuan Walker is a guy I've heard a decent amount about. This offseason has potential for them. Otherwise, you might have to get into trades, you know, and see who's available out there as well, because it kind of falls off. You know, there's some reclamation products out there in terms of starting pitching, but I feel like this team really needs to get guys that can kind of give them some innings too. You know, I think last year getting Bundy made a lot of sense as a durable guy who can give us innings, and sure enough, Bundy ended up, you know, really turning it around, you know, on top of that as well. So, but they kind of need that guaranteed depth, because I think they have enough intriguing guys who could maybe do things for them, like, you know, Berea or Sandoval. Obviously, I think Canning's probably in that rotation, but even Suarez, some of these guys, you don't really know what you're going to get out of them yet. I think they need to get some more veterans they can really count on and build this rotation with some more depth here. And obviously, didn't you mention Ohtani, but the hope is obviously Ohtani can come back healthy. And I know he's throwing now, but we don't really know too much more other than the fact they're going to try to make Ohtani a two-way player again next year.
And that's a perfect segue into our next email questions from Val B. I think that's a new one.
Yeah.
So it says, good morning, guys. What do you guys think if they go for Tanaka, and it says for a reasonable price, so he can at least mentor Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah, that could make sense too. I didn't mention Tanaka, but, you know, he's been a really good pitcher for the Yankees, and until this season was one of the best, you know, postseason pitchers of all times in terms of numbers. I know this year got hit around a little bit in the postseason, but yeah, I mean, it could make sense, you know, to bring in a guy that could, you know, mentor, and at least another guy, you know, that Shohei could, you know, as a fellow Japanese player on the same team, would be pretty cool. And yeah, you know, and Tanaka could actually be a real, I'm curious to see if he'd be interested in coming out west, you know, and playing for that team like the Angels, but he'd be definitely a big improvement for this rotation for sure.
With Tanaka, I think, didn't he, if I, correct me if I'm wrong, I think if you know, didn't he have like the PNP injection in his elbow? So he's kind of like one of those guys where it's like, Every time he pitches, he can be like the next one to have Tommy John.
Yeah, I think it's still torn, I guess, technically, but they've given him the PRP injections in the past, and it's worked, and he stayed healthy and hasn't missed starts. I think sometimes it'll flare up every now and then, but that is the risk, obviously, especially as a pitcher that's been around for a little bit, that if you were to get Tommy John, that would definitely not be what you'd want after signing him. But that also could make them, you know, his price a little bit lower as well.
Obviously, and then if you're a fan of the Angels, you know the history. You're thinking like, oh, you sign him, and then three pitches into the regular season, bam, there it goes.
Yeah, that would.
Yeah, Garrett Richards maybe is out there too. You know, if you want to see if they can get G Rich healthy and see what they can get out of him too.
Does anything about you mentioned G Rich, and then obviously the playoff run with the Padres and the Dodgers, they didn't use him as a starter at all, and then even in out of the bullpen, it seemed sparingly. Do you think that's like a red flag to where like the team that originally or previously had him wasn't really willing to put him out there as a starter?
I think he pitched pretty well, I think, in relief late in the season, I thought, but the Dodgers also seemed to see him a lot this year and hit him pretty well. I think that's probably why they didn't use him as a starter in the postseason. But yeah, it's a little bit of a concern, and you know, he's coming off all these injuries, but the good news was he stayed healthy. His stuff still looked nasty, like always. You know, his breaking ball was still filthy. It's just a matter, you know, it still strike guys out. It's just a matter, I guess, just missing those barrels and not giving up the hard hit balls that kind of seem to plague him here. But, you know, another year removed from injuries, he could be healthier. He could get back some velocity. He looked pretty nasty sometimes when I saw him pitch on TV. But yeah, I mean, it would still be a risk for sure.
Yeah. So we're going to stick to the pitching, but this time we're going to move it to the bullpen. We got a question from Daryl Roberts. He said, Rhett, have you heard anything about the Angels possibly going after a closer or late inning type guy, or do they stick with the Robles, Buttry, Keenan trio?
I would think they're going to go after, you know, some relief help for sure. Potentially even a closer, you know, with Hansel Robles. My guess is they're going to probably non-tender him. And, you know, he's probably going to be a free agent after his down year. You know, his velocity was down and all that too. I mean, really internally, for the closure, they could go with Buttry, or they could go with, you know, like Mike Myers was a breakout candidate. You know, even Keenan Middleton seems now he's kind of down the pecking order. I think he'll probably get tendered a contract just because he's going off a down year, and I don't know if he's going to get paid enough to get non-tendered, but even Keenan's kind of fallen off a little bit with his down year. So there's definitely going to be a lot of turnover. I was even a little bit shocked that they, you know, decided to DFA Cam Bedrosian early in the offseason because, you know, he actually pitched pretty well the last few years, but obviously was hurt a little bit too. And obviously still Justin Anderson is going to be out for another year with Tommy John. So There's going to be a lot of turnover, I think, in that bullpen. And I think it's going to be up to Perry to really get in there and figure out what makes sense. You know, do they go more on bargain bin type guys they can find that can really, you know, bounce back? Like I said, Mike Myers definitely did that. I know the Braves did that, and Perry talked a little bit about the lefty Tyler Matzek, who I think is a local kid too, that kind of came back from a bunch of injuries and ended up pitching in the postseason in key roles as a lefty reliever. So, and they could also move guys. Maybe Sandoval's a reliever too. You know, obviously Pena, I guess, did mention Pena. Pena is also back of the rotation. Sorry, probably likely to say back of the bullpen type guy. I know Madden likes in that role. So there are some names there, but I think there's definitely going to be a chance to really add a lot more of those. And I think some of them might be a little bit more risky, but some we might actually see them go out and get an actual legitimate closer out there too as well.
So, like, you mentioned Pena, and everyone knows, like, people or pitchers that come back from Tommy John, usually it's like the second year back is like kind of the best way to judge the guy. It's not necessarily the first year back. With Pena's injury, I think it was an ACL or MCL, something in the knee. Is that kind of the same thing? Do you know, like, you know, maybe this wasn't the best year for him just because of the fact that he was recovering from such a major surgery in the offseason?
It's hard to know. I mean, I think it's more of an issue with Tommy John, because obviously it's your throwing arm, you know, and you're throwing the ball and it feels weird. And first few times you're trying to repeat that delivery and, you know, keep that command. And I think Tommy John just kind of hurts you with that sometimes coming back. An ACL, you probably have that feeling, you know, of, you know, I don't want to hurt myself, and you're maybe not going all the way right away. But I think with bullpen sessions and, you know, see that this year without minor leagues, you couldn't have any rehab games. But I think with an ACL, you're probably more likely to be okay. Just, I think it's less of a mental thing. Where I think sometimes I see with Tommy John, sometimes even mental as well.
So obviously you mentioned a little bit earlier about Kamber Jojin getting designated for assignment, decided to go to free agent market. Is there any, I don't know if you know the names off the top of your head, but I'm looking at them right now. Is there any other names that you think might get non-tendered? Because that date's coming up pretty quickly here as far as guys getting non-tendered. We have guys, you said Justin Anderson, Andrés, Bedrosian's gone, Bundy, Heaney, Meyer, Middleton, Otani, Pena, Ramirez, Robles, and Stassi. You said about Robles already, but any of those names kind of throw up a flag to you saying, like, you know, maybe they're not going to get tendered when that deadline comes around?
Yeah, I'm curious to see about, like, you know, some of the relievers and even Ramirez. I mean, I like Ramirez a lot, and I think he probably should be tendered a contract, but I wonder if they think that, you know, same thing, they could replace him for cheaper, the same way with Cam, just because he is going to get a raise on his contract being, you know, up for arbitration like that. But I think, you know, a lot of the other guys, I said Myers is definitely going to come back, and Stassi, even though he's coming off the hip surgery, you know, they're going to definitely bring him back. And Otani is the biggest no-brainer on that list for sure. I think I'm curious to see what they do with the relievers, but like I said, even Noe's kind of a little bit on the fence there. But I think Robles is pretty much going to be out for sure. And Keenan, same thing, kind of up in the air. It's, much as he, you know, I thought he was going to be a future closer for them, and maybe he still could be, but it just seemed like last year he really kind of fell off the map with them.
Yeah, let's stay there for a second with Middleton. He got sent down to the alternate site in Long Beach at a certain point. And then it seemed like as the bullpen struggles were continuing, you know, Johnny and I would talk and be like, you know, he's better than some of these guys that they're putting out there. I wonder why he's not getting brought up. Was there any explanation? Was it mechanical? Was it, I don't know, maybe mental? Did they say anything, any reason why they sent him down to work on something?
Yeah, I think originally it was more just mechanical and getting him kind of fixed up there. And, you know, same thing, coming off Tommy John can always be tough. You know, it was kind of his second season in a sense, because he got in there late last the year before. But yeah, I think it was some of that and kind of getting just his more strike throwing, because the stuff has always been pretty, obviously really good. And I don't know how much, I don't know if any of it was mental. We obviously saw him, you know, some stuff going on with social media, I think deleting his account and that kind of stuff. So I think he reappeared recently, but might be back off it again. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that stuff. And if that, you know, has anything to do with anything. So, but it's, you know, something you need to see. But yeah, I mean, you hope that everything's okay and that, you know, he can kind of get back on track, but hard to know right now. We'll find out really soon here if it's going to be with the Angels or not.
As the Arizona State football coach, Herm Edwards, said when he was the New York Jets coach, don't press send. That was his advice to kids. Don't press send. And it seemed like, I don't know, maybe Middleton pushed send maybe a little too much.
But first rule of Twitter, don't tweet.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Or you know, or delete your tweets before you get famous.
Yeah, right.
Go back exactly. And start all over again. So you kind of mentioned a little bit with the Stassi surgery, the catching position. So emailer Ruben emailed us two questions, but the first question was about the catching position. He's all, thoughts on going after Yadier Molina this offseason would be an upgrade. He says it would be an upgrade offensively. I don't know if I agree with him on that part, but he did say and could really help our young pitchers next season. So what are your thoughts about bringing another Molina back to Anaheim?
It could make some sense. You know, he's definitely had an incredible career, great defensively. Offensively, like you said, he hasn't – I think Stassi had obviously a better year. But, yeah, I know obviously his brother is a catching coach and Jose on the – you know, so is on that Angel staff and – you know, obviously knows Albert Pujols very well. They're, you know, best friends pretty much. Obviously Tony La Russa was part of this organization for a little while too, but not anymore. So yeah, but I thought that would also have been a thing, but right now I think with Albert at least and his brother part of it, yeah, maybe he does come to Anaheim and you know, it could make some sense, especially with Stassi, you know, right now coming off that hip surgery, we don't really know when he's going to be ready. He's getting close. I mean, I know last year I had the same kind of one, and got back in time for the start of the season, so maybe he'll be okay. But Stassi even has to prove that he can be an everyday guy. I think this year was a great stepping stone to proving that he can be, but same thing, he still got hurt a little bit during the season. It wasn't a full regular season of catching. So maybe getting him and pairing up with Yadier could make, you know, a lot of sense there to do that. But I haven't heard enough about how the catching going to shape up for the Angels yet. Obviously, I said with Perry being so new, but you have to expect that if I at least check in on him to see, because it does – makes sense for sure.
Yeah, it makes sense in my eyes too, just because, you know, when you look at the depth the Angels have at catcher, I mean, aside from Stassi, who do you got? Ben Boom and Briseño. I don't know if those are guys if they're really kind of banking to do anything. Right,
Ben Boom's still on the 40 man, but yeah, and Briseño's already off the 40, so yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have any prospects.
Right. So to go, Ruben had another question that said, out of all the shortstops that will be free agents next year, which one do you think the Angels go after? And now this is only if they do go after a shortstop. Maybe, like you said earlier, maybe Fletcher's a guy and they go after second baseman. But who in that – do you see anybody that the Angels are looking maybe kind of have attention on there in the middle of the infield there?
Yeah, I think Didi Gregorius could be a guy they could look at for sure. And if they really want to get, you know, interesting and go the trade route, I mean, and go big, they could go for Trevor Story with the Rockies. Ooh. I think he's going to be available. You know, that would be a huge one, but I don't know if I really see that. But if Perry wants to make a splash and make a big trade.
That's a splash, yeah.
That would be a huge one to get a shortstop like that. Yeah, that would be huge. So they can get creative there, though. I think that, like I said, they can go to second base, too. I don't really see them being a player for LeMahieu, but, I mean, they could if they wanted to be. I don't really know his thoughts on where he wants to play or play west or east or wherever, but. But yeah, I mean, at least it gives them some options here at shortstop, just because they do have either position open depending on what they want to do with Fletcher.
So obviously then two other offensive positions that might need to be addressed. Like you kind of mentioned it earlier, like offensively, it doesn't seem like the Angels are in a bad position, but we've talked to guys that say maybe they look at a quarter infielder, maybe they look at another, like a fourth outfielder. Is there any other position besides the ones we've already talked about that you think the Angels address, whether it's through the trade market or getting a free agent?
I think they'll probably just make the priority shortstop, obviously, or second base and catcher. I think otherwise, corner infield, I think they're probably more likely just to lean on Walsh and Pujols there at first, and then maybe even Theis as a backup there at the third. Fletcher needs to go back there too, because they can obviously have Renjifo on that roster too as well. As kind of more of a utility guy. And outfield they could, but I think right now with, you know, with Upton bouncing back and actually, you know, Taylor Ward had a pretty good year. I think that helps with their depth. Got to hope that Adele can continue to turn it around and get better. So you could always add an extra outfielder type, but it might even be like a minor league free signing type that could compete for a job more so than an actual like big signing. But it's going to be interesting. We'll know a lot more even soon with all these non-tenders and stuff. And there's going to be, I think, a lot of free agents out there and a lot of guys you could actually pick up and maybe at reasonable prices because, just because of the coronavirus and just, I think the market's going to be down in general, except for the elite guys. So I think if the Angels want to fill in some holes and plug in some things, and be aggressive and spend some money. I mean, I think they can do it. And I think those guys are going to be there. Just going to be up to Artie and Perry to see exactly how much money they want to spend and how they're going to do that.
So, you know, it kind of makes or brings up another thing I want to talk about real quick is that obviously Perry just got in there and there's some assistant GMs that left before even the new GM got announced. How important do you think it is for an organization? Because I think when people see the GM, it's like, you know, he's in charge of everything. But how important is it for him to surround himself with good guys, good scouts, good assistant GMs to give him the right information?
Well, that's going to be huge. That's going to be the big thing. You know, I don't know the answer enough on exactly how he wants to build out his staff. But, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big part of it. You know, having guys he can trust, you know, and as you know, it said people – left it, the assistant GMs left this. So the front office right now in terms of actual decision makers is pretty barren outside of, you know, Perry up there and, you know, Bill Stoneman still, one of the senior advisors. So he had a lot of power in terms of the say for this, you know, this hire with obviously already making final say and Carpino in that mix as well. So yeah, he's got to be able to do that. You know, the Angels also let go of some scouts too. So he's got to rebuild that and figure out exactly how he's going to do that and what Artie's going to allow him to do. You know, I covered the Twins before this and they, you know, made an interesting hire. You know, the way they did it was in hiring two people and Jarek Falvey and, you know, Thad Levine. And then from there, same thing. They kept some guys in the front office, but then it's kind of rebuilt it, hired their own new guys in there from different backgrounds, like redid the minor league system and really just made a ton of new hires and just kind of rebuilt it in their own image. And sure enough, now the Twins are one of the better teams in the American League and have a lot of depth in their farm system and seem to be kind of a team on the rise. And so it's going to be, you know, and that's, I think that's a big reason why is because they really built out their staff and made big hires from, you know, other teams and even other leagues and stuff. So I think that you got to get creative and Perry's got to really figure this out. Like I said, I wouldn't be shocked if his brother, he was really well regarded with the Giants were to join him on the staff too. That would be helpful as well. So we'll see who he brings along, but I have to figure he's going to bring in at least some experienced people here, to help him because he is a first time GM.
And that brings up a good topic or a good transition. A lot of fans, you know, I don't know if they blew up your Twitter, but I kind of saw it on social media. The fact that they went with a first-time GM and not a name that maybe has bounced around for a little bit, you know, what are your thoughts on them just hiring a first-time GM compared to a guy that's gone through it and maybe struggled at times, but maybe has learned from it?
Yeah, and even the thing that was interesting, too, is the fact that, you know, Perry – this was his first time interviewing for the GM job for any team. You know, a lot of times too, even if guys are first time GMs, they've at least been through, you know, interview processes with teams and kind of know, you know, how that goes or just, you know, I've been around and done that, but you know, it's pretty interesting. This was his first time ever interviewing and sure enough, you know, he gets the job his very first time, which is pretty amazing. But yeah, I don't think there's too much criticism warranted there. I mean, you know, you could get an experienced guy and obviously, you know, I think Michael Hill was a guy that could have been interesting from the Marlins as a guy that kind of built that team up and then was let go because of salary reasons. So there were some guys out there. You know, obviously Dombrowski was a guy they talked about a lot early. Turns out he wanted to stay as part of that Nashville group. So he was never really a candidate. So, I think this was a smart, you know, a hire. I think that kind of bucked the trend of going against somebody that, you know, so many teams now are Ivy League educated executives and they all kind of think the same way, at least in some ways. Perry comes from more of a scouting background and not that, and obviously he's going to blend analytics and the analytics are going to be big for them. And they're always going to be big in baseball going forward. But I think he also knows the importance of scouting and all that too, which I think should really help his team kind of be more well-rounded going forward.
Yeah. I'm with Dan. We, you know, we see a lot of comments because of our Halo Haven, you know, our pages on Facebook and stuff. So we see a lot of fan interaction. And it was just kind of weird to me that people were kind of upset that, yeah, who is this guy and whatever? But in reality, I mean, who really was available that was a name that
Victor Rojas,
right? Well, I'm saying like they wanted like, you know, Theo Epstein or somebody like that. Like, really, who was available? No one was really available, right? I mean, aside from the guy you mentioned from Miami or from the Marlins, you know, yeah. And Dombrowski, yeah. they're really, I mean, they were more than likely going to go after a guy who's rather new to or assistant GM mm-hmm. or right, a first timer, right?
Yeah, I think all six of their finalists were all first timers. You know, guys that had never been GMs before. I think, you know, Ruben Ambrose is a guy they interviewed that was a former GM, obviously of the Phillies.
Yeah.
So there were some guys that were, you know, and like you said, even some guys they would have liked to have talked to, from organizations, the team just said no. Like, obviously, the Rays were not going to let them interview
right.
anybody from like DeAndre or any of those guys. Yeah. And you know, I think with the A's too, Force said they wouldn't let Force interview. So some of these big names that would have brought over, they weren't even allowed to interview. So yeah, I think they're going to go somewhere, someone kind of new. And mm-hmm. I think that Perry just kind of fit that mold of a guy that already wanted, that was, you know, more of a baseball guy and really just wants to build a quick, you know, build a winner here and kind of change the culture of this franchise. And it is a little risky, you know, except to hire a first time guy. And, but I said, he's a guy that's been around baseball his whole life. So he knows how front offices are run, and he has people, you know, that he can lean on to help him with that.
I know you're not going to know the answer. So I guess I'm asking for more of an opinion off of this, but can Perry, and this has kind of been the issue with the Angels, it seems like, for a while now, can Perry control Marino as far as him not getting too, you know, involved in everything? Because it seems like, you know, the big contracts of certain players or him, you know, we had this issue last year with as far as the Jock Peterson and the trade and all that stuff, and how Artie was the one that cut that. Do you think, again, I don't expect you to know this, but do you think Perry can at least, I mean, pull the reins back at least a little bit off of Artie on this one?
I don't really see that happening in a sense. I think that Artie owns the team and he's going to do what he sees fit and what he kind of, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we asked Carpino that question, and not in that many words, but, you know, and the, as part of the search, and Carpino pretty much said, that's just Artie, and, you know, he owns a team, and that's his right to do that. It's his business. If he wants to give his two cents and to say what he wants for that team, he's going to do it. So yeah, I don't think that's going to really change too much. I think that Artie, if there's a guy that he wants, you know, Rendon was one of those guys he wanted, and obviously so was, you know, Pujols. You could go to a line of other guys too that he wanted, that, you know, for better or worse. But you know, he's a passionate guy, and he knows how to sell tickets. He knows, you know, how to, he's trying to find a way to build a winner again. It's been a while now, and I think the hope is that, you know, Perry could maybe Perry does get a little bit more autonomy. But you're right, I don't know how it's going to work yet. We'll see how it goes, but I do think, just, you know, Artie's always going to have a say because he's the owner and he believes that, you know, that's his right, and it is.
Yeah, I guess that's the one thing, is that the wild card in all of this, if Artie kind of leans back a little bit and just lets Perry do his thing, that can probably work out pretty well. But, you know, we didn't mention at the beginning, but this is our 200th episode, so we are very there we go. We got Chris, the crowd of one in the background. But again, Red, we want to thank you for being our guest on this 200th episode and just talking in the off-season stuff. And I'm sure we'll meet up again. Maybe, you know, knock on wood, maybe with a Bauer signing or something.
I hope so.
Something like, fun, yeah.
Something like that will happen during the off-season, now that it's kind of in full go. One more thing before that made me remember. Winter meetings and owners meetings, do you know exactly how that's going to work this year? Because I know a lot of fans get excited when those come around because of the possibility of deals being made or trades happening.
Yeah, they're both off from what I've been told. I don't think that any team or anybody's going to be traveling. I think some teams still might be doing some winter meeting type things, whether it's, you know, kind of planned Zoom calls and stuff like that, you know, and I think there's still stuff that has to be talked about, you know, league-wide and that kind of stuff. So there'll still be things that would have happened at the winter meetings that will happen, you know, via Zoom and all that. But in terms of actual, that kind of action of the deadline, just the action of all the deals happening like that, I don't really see that, because there's not going to be GMs and agents all in one place like it was in the past. And so there's going to be that artificial kind of, like I said, deadline in the sense, but there's not going to be that feeling anymore. So yeah, from what I've heard, they're both pretty much just off. And say, so some teams still might have some availability that week and might make their, you know, team manager, their GMs available to talk about, you know, their organization and that kind of stuff. But in terms of actual GM or winter meetings in person, they're both totally off this year.
All right. So I guess maybe it doesn't happen all at once. Maybe it's spread out over
it'll be slow. We'll see.
A couple of weeks, maybe, instead of all, because it seems like last year it was pretty crazy once Cole decided to sign, and then all of a sudden Rendon, and then the craziness happened. But again,
Strasburg too was right in there.
Strasburg, you're right. So again, Rhett, thank you very much for taking time out and chatting with us. It's obviously always a lot of fun. But before we go, a real quick, I guess, update on the Tyler Skaggs Foundation. If you guys know or follow us, you know how close we are with the Tyler Skaggs Foundation. They had a Thanksgiving fundraiser. So, you know, Carly, we met Carly. She really wanted us to kind of get these numbers out there and let you know that, you know, they got 600 cooked meals for families out in LA and Santa Monica area. And now they're kind of moving on to the next part of the holidays, and that is Christmas. And they are doing for UCLA pediatric patients. They're doing like a toy drive. They're trying to stuff 72 stockings. And if you guys are interested in donating, obviously you can go to the TylerSkaggsFoundation.org and donate there. Or they actually even have a Amazon gift registry right now. And when we talked earlier today, and again, maybe by the time you're listening to this, it's you know, a couple days, but there was 10 toys left to purchase. People are going on there, purchasing awesome. Them, and then donating them to the, obviously, like I said, the UCLA pediatric patients there. But you can always find that link in the bio for the Tyler Skaggs Foundation. Again, it's Tyler Skaggs Foundation 45 on Instagram, I believe. And Carly really wanted me to say that everyone deserves a happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays during this tough time. So again, if you're able to, we have, and we work really close with them. We ask you to donate to that foundation and mean a lot. And it would mean a lot to Carly and obviously Debbie, Tyler's mom.
Yeah, absolutely. Do your thing, guys, if you can. So again, thanks, Rhett. Appreciate your time. And that's it. That's a wrap. I am Johnny Maggs.
I am Daniel Garcia.
And you've listened to another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.